The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
Coming to you live from a very cool corner of Midtown Sacramento, it's the Nate Darling Show with Sam Platts, Diana Hong, and Kareem Daniels there. And now, a man who does things because he can. Here's Nate.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Nate Darling Show. How is you all doings?
We are good.
Super duper.
Sam not here. He called in sick to work, so he's still sick. He's not here.
Poor baby.
Sadly, that tonight we're recording 2 weeks worth of shows. So, if you've come for Sam, you're gonna have to come back in July.
Or you can learn to love us too. Right?
Yeah. So what's gonna happen? Here's the deal. I'm going to Vermont next week, so instead of doing regular shows and having repeats next week, we're gonna be doing shorter shows. This week and next week, so you're going to have new shows Wednesday and Friday, just like always. You'll have new Well Hung podcasts the next two Mondays, so you'll get new shows. It's just a little bit shorter. Concentrated us, if you will. So that's how that's going to go. Before we get into the show and before I forget, I want to thank everybody who's been shopping Amazon through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. It does help support the show. It does not cost you anything extra, and we do appreciate you taking care of that. There will be some changes coming up to that in July. Nothing major, and I'll let you know when that's all squared away. Amazon has some technical tweaks I have to make. So,
oh, okay.
If you've bookmarked it, you might have to change your bookmark, but the Shop Amazon tab will always still work, as it always has. Coming up on the show today, we'll teach you how to be a master, a linguistic master of sorts. We'll talk LeBron James Dick and Kanye West. But first of all, Kareem, you mentioned that you thought of Diana on your way to work today?
Well, I thought about Diana and you.
Oh, okay.
Because I was on the freeway.
This is not good.
Well, I'm gonna remain optimistic.
I'm on the freeway. I'm stuck in traffic in the lane next to the fast lane.
Okay. Arguably the worst lane to get stuck in.
Yeah. In the fast lane is a lane where you got to have more than two passengers in.
Okay. So it's carpool.
Carpool. And we get to a spot where things clear up. And you get to the front. You go to pass, and you get to the front. You find out that there's an Asian lady going 55 in that lane. With nobody in front of her.
I just want to clarify, if you really thought about me, you would have thought, I'm a very good driver.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think that you were a bad driver. I just thought about Nate and that thing
fucking
he normally
song,
plays.
That fucking song. Family Guy is ruining.
Which sadly, I do not have in the new soundboard yet.
Oh, man.
But I'm sure you were muttering this under your breath.
Fuck yourself.
Yes.
I don't understand. I get so mad when I see, like, Asian drivers just perpetuate a stereotype. And, like, when I make a mistake, I get even more upset about myself. Because, you know, sometimes accidents happen and you just kind of, like, space out a little bit. And, like, I get more mad because I know the person looking into the car is like, this fucking Asian bitch. Like, I know exactly what they're thinking. But when it's not my fault and they give me a dirty look, I get fucking pissed. Because it's not my fault.
And the thing was, there was nobody in front of her for about a half a mile. Like, she was just holding up everything.
Yeah, and you're just driving by her going,
fuck yourself.
Yeah.
I hate, oh God.
Oh, man. And I thought about you this morning because one of your cousins hit a hole in one this weekend.
Which one?
I can't remember her name.
Oh, this is an interesting quiz. I was talking to Cheryl, the soccer mom, and she was like telling me, she was like, not a lot of people, like the average person, can't name a female golfer off the top of their head.
I can name two.
Yeah, right? Like, yeah. It's like, I think, can you name a female golfer?
Michelle Kwan, Sayre Pack.
Michelle Wee. Kwan is, yeah, Michelle Wee is the one. Michelle Kwan's the figure.
Nancy
skater.
Lopez. How about I go old school on your ass?
Okay, so yeah. People can't. It's like, it's a common thing. And so, her Cheryl's daughter
Natalie
posted.
Natalie Gulbis.
That's, see, I figure for Sacramento people would do Natalie Gulbis, but then like her Cheryl's daughter posted a question on Facebook, like as a survey thing, like, can you name, without Googling, can you name a female golfer? And one person was like, some lesbian. Tigress Woods, and then someone.
Oh yeah, Tiger Woods' niece. Yeah,
yeah, Cheyenne.
Cheyenne Woods. Yeah.
And then someone else wrote, I can't remember first name, but last name is Park. And I'm like, there's like 30 of those. Like that was. If you just say yeah, someone named Kim Lee or Park, you're gonna name like 50 golfers.
I think this chick's name was Kui or.
Oh, she's not my cousin. Then she has to be a Chinese girl.
Queef,
Kui.
Her name's Queef.
Kui.
Briefly.
Okay. But she hit a hole in one, and I thought about you.
I've never had a hole in one before.
Oh,
look at her.
Oh, you're getting some cuddle time now.
Oh, my God. We're going to take a selfie.
There you go.
I really think deep down inside, I'm a basic bitch. I love brunches, and I don't love selfies, but I love selfies with cats.
Oh, well, yeah. Because cats are the shit. So last week, I went to Walmart because I needed to buy a couple of metal weights for a jib at work. And a jib, for anybody who doesn't know, is a long arm metal object that you put a camera on one end and you operate it and you use weights to counterbalance it. And I go to Walmart because they're going to be cheaper there. So I grab a cart at the front of the Walmart and I head toward the back of the Walmart because I got to take a leak. And I'm at the Super Walmart in West Sac. And I put the cart near the back door, go into the men's room. I'm in there. I shit you not, 45 seconds tops. I walk back out. The cart is nowhere to be seen. Nowhere. Like, I'm looking around. Like, where the fuck did the cart go? Did somebody grab it? What's going on? There's nobody. I can see nobody anywhere. So then I have to get the weight. I'm getting a 5-pound weight. Two 5-pound weights and two 2.5-pound weights. So not a lot of weight, but they're not really, they don't stack together
right.
And hold. So they're really fucking unwieldy to carry because I don't have a cart now. And the way Walmart is set up, all of the carts are outside in the front.
Yeah.
It's not set up like a Target where they've got baskets around here and there because that would have worked out. No. So I've got these weights, and I go and grab a pair of shorts that I'm going to buy, and then I'm like, fuck. So I'm walking around Walmart with 7.5 pounds of weight in each hand and a pair of shorts.
Damn.
Look at you getting your workout.
And I'm like, okay, I cannot wait in one of these moronic lines. So I head out for the Walmart shopper's secret weapon, the checkout at the Garden Center.
Ooh, I've done, yeah, yes. That's a good spot.
That's the secret. Now, you can't have a ton of items, but that is one secret place. So I head out there, and there's a dude working, and I'm like, oh, he's finishing checking somebody out. And I go out, and I tell him about, yeah, I went into the bathroom. 45 seconds later, the cart's gone. And I'm expecting, like, a smile or a head shake, like, yeah, what are you going to do? And he was, like, talking to the living dead. He was just giving me nothing. Absolutely nothing. I go, yeah, I've been walking around Walmart with like 7.5 pounds on each hand. And he's like, huh?
He's probably high. I went to Walmart and I was checking out, and the lady behind the, she's this like sweet older lady. And she finished checking me out, and then she's like, would you like to donate $1 to help make a child's dreams come true? And I just looked at her. I'm like, you know, you realize that the way you phrase that question, if I said no, I would look like the biggest asshole, right? And she looks at me.
You should have asked her if that child was a Walmart employee.
She looks at me and she was like, oh, I didn't think about it like that. I'm like,
oh. That's their script, though.
Usually, like, would you like to donate $1 to this organization? But the way she did it was like, you know, like, make a child's dream. Like, the way it was just like, I was like, you bitch.
Yeah, I always come back with, not today. Not today.
You should have asked her, what is he the child of a Walmart employee?
Yeah. I was like, fucking that one time I went through Taco Bell, this dude was like, would you like to do, after he fucked up the, first off, this motherfucker. So my friend was in the passenger seat and she was like reading the order back to me so I can say it through to the speaker or whatever that is. So, and then after the whole order's done, keep in mind, this is like for 10 people, right? So, because we're at a party. And then he's like, you know, I can hear the passenger, right? And I'm like, no, asshole. If I did, obviously I want to repeat every fucking thing that she just told me. And he was like, oh, I'm like, okay. And then he's like, well, would you like to donate to my college fund? I'm like, no, because obviously college isn't going to help your stupid ass. He fucked up our order.
Would you like to donate to my college fund? Please. I'm in Taco Bell. I just want to get out.
Fucking dumbass. Fucking so stupid.
You know, I can hear the passenger. I'm not going to tell you until after, but
yeah, just so y'all know, they can fucking hear the passenger, so they don't need you to repeat everything after 10 minutes of fucking repeating shit.
And the passengers don't really need to yell. I think that's the only joy they get in life at the drive-thru, is hearing people yell, because they know that the passenger is leaning out toward the driver's side window, like into the driver's lap.
Yeah.
Going, ah, the chimichanga!
And I'm just standing there like, oh, my ears hurt. But my friend was like sitting in the back, like posted up chilling, and just like, yeah, I want soft tacos, blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, okay. And then it's like, I can hear him. Like, I hate you so much. I hate you. This is why people look down on fast food and customer service employees. Because of people like you.
I will say this, and I don't go there that often anymore, but if you're going to go drive through Taco Bell in the morning, there's a girl who works at the Taco Bell on Broadway who is awesome. Friendly, smart, gets the order right. You pull up, want to have this. She asks you a couple questions. I'm like, nope, that's good. Is the order right? Yes, it is. Pull ahead. Boom. Always pleasant, always a smile.
You should give her a card for the podcast and be like, yo, we talked about you. Just so you know, we gave you a shout out for being... See, that those kind of people, I'm like, you know what? That's baseline. That is your job. Like, that's so... Like, they do their job, and that's all. That's all you need to do. You don't need to be, like, make shit complicated. You don't need to be lazy. Don't need to be a little shit and make everyone else look bad.
Well, here's the other thing about most drive-thrus in town. The person manning the window, English, not always their first language. In fact, quite often not, which always blows my mind. It's like, why would you put the person with the most tenuous grasp on the English language in the position where you have to communicate with somebody, not face to face, but just by the sound of the voice, and you're just going back and forth? I think they do it to fuck with people. I really do. I think secretly fast food managers are just sadistic fuckers.
Well, they think that's going to help them with their English skills or, you know, all that shit. Sure. I don't know. Like,
that's it.
Fucking. And it's not, I don't know about that kind of shit. Because it's like, I get it. The whole like English, like if you're ESL, that's fine. And I get you're trying, but.
I'm not shitting on them. I'm shitting on the person that puts them on the drive-thru.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Don't and put them on the drive-thru. Put them in the dining room where someone's going to walk in and they can have the conversation face-to-face. You're not sitting in your car breathing fumes in. And by the way, how many people are walking into the restaurant compared to going through the drive-thru? I mean, really. It's much more in the drive-thru and everybody's in a hurry. So that's the dangers of food service. Some people start really young, you know, with like a lemonade stand. So a couple of girls in Texas did anyway, until someone narked on them to the popo.
Young Overton sisters decided they would host a lemonade stand as a way to earn some money for a Father's Day present. Little did they know they would be breaking the law when they did that. Overton police showed up on Monday morning, initially because the girls had set up just off the curb of a residential road. That's when they realized the girls didn't have a permit for their lemonade. State health laws require a permit if you're selling food that requires time or temperature control to prevent spoiling. Okay. And since lemonade can grow bacteria without being refrigerated, the girls were shut down.
That's ridiculous. I think they're 7 and 8. They're just trying to make money for their own cause.
How did that make you feel? They all had to shut it down.
A little mad and sad. Sad. I felt a little confused. I was like, what is going on here?
Now, the girls still want to raise the money for their dad's present, so this Saturday they plan on setting up their stand again, and they're going to give away the lemonade, but they're asking for donations.
So that's how they're getting around the health violation.
That's a thing. Oh, dear Lord.
Have we really come to that?
Yep, we have. Texas has. because they've executed all the bigger problems. See, that's what the, see her a state with the death penalty that actually follows through. That's where they are. They are down to the biggest problem with public health and safety are two little girls in a lemonade stand.
Because around no, the corner, fudge is made.
Too many black people at a pool party.
Oh, that was in Texas.
That
huh?
was also in Texas.
Yeah.
See, they moved all the adults have been executed that need to be. It's time to deal with the kids.
Oh, that's fucked up. That's so true, though.
All right. So, Dateline Cleveland. We've spoken of rapper Kanye West before. He loves to grab the spotlight, and he did it again. Yeah. This was a few games ago in the NBA Finals because at this point the Finals could be over. But he crashed the podium, and there wasn't anything happening. He just like showed up and was like, oh, empty table. Cameras pointed at it. Let me sit down and be Kanye.
Now, in case you were wondering, yes, Riley was at tonight's game, and here she is getting a victory kiss aww. From her dad.
Well, guess who crashed the post-game podium? That's Kanye West holding things down until Steph Curry got there.
You're fucking what? Kidding.
Yeah, most of the press had nope. yet to file in, but Kanye felt like he needed to be Kanye. He sat down and said a few words. That lasted about a minute. Kanye did his best Steph Curry impersonation before they finally told him to go sit down. Game.
What did he say?
Well,
you know, I'm extremely exhausted, you know, by the floor, you know, and, you know,
that's Riley.
You know, this next game, you know, we got to go hard. You know,
Kareem, let me ask you this. Why is this a cultural thing that I just don't understand? Why do there have to be at least three black people talking at the same time if they're in the same room?
Oh, shit.
Because Kanye is up there trying to say stuff and we can't really hear. Someone's recording it on their camera phone in the back because one of his guys is off to the side just yapping away.
No, that's people, period.
I don't know that it is.
No, that's people. Like, he wasn't involved in Kanye's conversation, so he's talking to somebody else on the side. Just
yap. So
you obviously have not been around women much.
Hey!
They talk all the time.
Well,
as long as what you're talking about, if what you're talking about has nothing to do with them, then they're talking.
I'm so done with you guys. I just feel like that's something Justin Bieber would do.
That it is.
Yeah, like Justin Bieber and Kanye have way too much in common.
Hey, LeBron James having a big finals. He declared himself the best player in the world, which he is. He asked if he felt they could come back. At this point, it's 3-2 Warriors. And they asked LeBron if they thought he could come back. If they thought they could come back, and he goes, "Yeah." And they said, "Why are you confident?" "Because I'm the best player in the world." He has not been at all bumped by his penis making its national television debut on ABC.
Wait, the fuck? Oh, they blocked it out.
No, they did not block it out, Diana. There it is. There it is. There's Kanye's penis. Right. There's the screen grab of it. There's Kanye's wang. Or not Kanye, LeBron's wang.
Why does it look like that?
Because
it looks weird.
Because it's been in compression shorts. Compressed would be my guess.
It's all blurry and shit. It looked
That's because they blew up the screen.
Not
so you
saying
could
that
see
I I've seen a lot of penises. Not saying that at all. I'm just saying like from my experience.
You have a lot of experience with 6'8" black guys.
That just, it's like blur. You can't really see. It's not a good picture.
Well, it's very clearly a penis. Very clearly a penis.
She so, really wants to see it. That's the interesting part.
I know.
It's like a science project to me.
So it was,
like, I'm just curious.
Yeah, it was game four, and LeBron was just adjusting everything. Because when you're wearing compression shorts, you get a nut that shifts a little bit. Your penis shifts a little bit. You want to make sure you're comfortable if you're going to be running up and down the floor. So he's just doing that whole thing where he's letting it air out. And
definitely don't want to get it squished.
And exactly. And the ABC camera is pointing right at his junk. So I've seen post game stuff where you'll get a rogue penis that shows up in the locker room. This is the first time I've ever seen it in on national
ABC.
TV. ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
Hilarious.
Nicely done. All right, let's move from penises, Diana. You ready?
This is stupid. I want to talk about vaginas.
Exactly. Cunnilingus has an undeserved reputation as being one of the trickiest sexual acts to perform well.
No, it's not.
See, it's not.
Tell us about it, Diana.
Well, let the article and then I'll see. Once again, not very experienced. I'm just saying from my personal... Never mind.
Go ahead.
Well, this is someone named Vanessa Marin who wrote this. She thinks the characterization is grounded in cultural judgments of women's genitals as being complicated and mysterious. Let's lay this unfair reputation to rest with some straightforward advice on performing some awesome cunnilingus. So get ready. Take notes. For the guide, she enlisted the help of Ian Kerner, the author of She Comes First, The Thinking Man's Guide to Pleasuring a Woman. See, as a sex therapist, she's read lots of sexual advice books. She Comes First easily ranks in her personal top five because most sex books are too vague to actually be useful. But Kerner covers every aspect of cunnilingus in detail and gives tons of specific techniques. Kerner has a personal take on honing his oral sex technique, too. He bravely admits in the opening chapter that his struggles with premature ejaculation motivated him to find other ways of pleasing his partners. So, with his advice, here's a step-by-step guide to learning how to give your partner great head. Diana is leaning in.
I'm definitely paying attention right now.
All right, here's first. Put her at ease. A lot of women simply don't feel comfortable receiving oral sex. For some women, it's due to insecurities about their scent or taste, or their internalized beliefs that their genitals are ugly. Some worry that their partners are finding the experience unpleasant. Others dislike being the center of attention, or find themselves unable to relax when receiving. Because women are socialized to be hypercritical of their bodies.
That's true.
So having your eyes, nose, and mouth right in the middle of one of the most sensitive parts of the female body is going to evoke at least a little resistance. You're not going to be able to completely change her relationship with her body in one fell tongue swoop, but you can make a special effort to make her feel more at ease. Kerner says part of doing so involves changing your own perceptions of oral sex. One of the biggest misconceptions about cunnilingus is that outercourse is less satisfying than intercourse. For many women, oral sex is the most physically pleasurable sex act. It is not foreplay in the sense that you spend a few minutes on it, then move on to the main course. When you offer to go down on her, make it clear that you're taking this activity seriously and are excited to do it.
I don't like that they compare it to food. I know it's like eating her out and it's the whole food metaphor and all that shit, but I don't like that. It's ruining food for me. I mean, I enjoy doing... I'm going to stop talking right now. Keep going. I'm sorry.
Point number two, get comfortable.
And it doesn't taste like chicken.
Get comfortable and warm her up. You're in for the long haul. Taking your time is another great way to help her feel more relaxed and excited about what you have in store for her. The clitoris is extremely sensitive, so you don't want to dive in right away. Kerner recommends spending plenty of time kissing, hugging, touching, and sharing fantasies.
God, this makes bitches sound so sensitive. You know what I mean? Like, you fucking
are.
Make sure she's aroused before.
Have you ever had sex with one?
Before starting to make your way between her legs. Once you're down there, continue taking your time. Start with light vertical licks from bottom to top. Or, here's my personal advice, sometimes throw her on the bed and just jam your head down there and go to town. It depends on the mood.
If she's not comfortable, that's called rape.
Well, I'm talking about if you're in a relationship, Diana, and you are comfortable.
Okay.
You're not aware of the idea that women do enjoy... A little bit of rough stuff.
I mean, they do. If it's coming from a loving place, I understand that. But the thing is, like, sometimes they're really uncomfortable with, like, even being, like, some women are really anti. Kind of, I've never called it that. I just say head.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? You know what? You know what guys call that, Kareem?
What?
A keeper. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I actually did date a girl that was like that.
Yeah, right. And I think it's like, for me though, I enjoy it, you know, and I'm good. That's my forte. That, like, to, I'm just saying this is awkward now, but that's like, I like that's, I do enjoy, and I, you know, so, but if, by, never mind.
You're
fuck
one
it.
Of the guys.
I am. Fucking. But it's just, it's because, like, you know, if they're really uncomfortable with it, then it makes me sad.
Point three, hone
so
in on
that's
a,
why I'm paying attention to
hone
this.
In on a routine, but err on the side of caution. Kerner's clients have some hilarious descriptions of the oral sex their partners performed. One woman complained that her partner treated cunnilingus like the running of the bulls in Spain, making a mad stampede for the clit. Another said it felt like a cobra defending itself from a mongoose. Continuing the colorful metaphor trend, Kerner says, think of your tongue like the fluttering of a gentle butterfly wings, or like the thick, wet magic marker.
A girl definitely wrote this.
Drawing a still life. Translation, it's better to be gentle and methodical than too rough or overly acrobatic. Or I'm going to go on an aside myself. Or, if the moaning is getting louder, you're doing it right. Next point, pay special attention to the commissure. Kerner's approach to cunnilingus is unique in focusing on the commissure, which is the area right above the clitoris and the clitoral hood. It's a smooth area of skin that tends to get ignored due to its proximity to the obviously more infamous clitoris. In his chapters of the female anatomy, Kerner talks about the fact that pressure on the connoisseur can stimulate some of the internal fibers of the clitoris. Here's one of his specific techniques. Get ready, Diane. Make your mouth into an Elvis Presley snarl and spread your gum into her front commissure. Make a seal between your gum and her front commissure. You want to be a bit high above the glands at a 45-degree angle to her vaginal entrance.
No one should think this much when giving head. Like, I'm sorry. This is way too much fucking thinking. Just pay attention. If she likes it, she likes it. Keep doing that shit. Change it up. And then just pay attention. That's it.
Continue to apply persistent licks. I don't know. I'm drawing a visual of that, and I would find it really hard not to bite down on her clit at that point. Because if I'm jamming my gum right up there, I'm going
That's
to...
so awkward.
It's going to be... The teeth are going to be right on it.
Yeah. Mm.
And finally, prepare for orgasm. As she starts nearing orgasm, Kerner advises pulling her legs closer together to increase the stimulation. But there's one thing, above all else, that you should remember as she gets close to orgasm. Do not change what you're doing! I found most women will vocalize that in terms of routine and pacing. Do not let yourself get sped up by her rising intensity. Keep being deliberate and methodical. Consistency is key for most women, so once you've found something that works, stick to it and do not stray from the path. If you do, you may have found a very frustrated woman on your hands. So, there you go. That's how to be a master of cunnilingus. Are you ready to move on with that?
Did you catch all that, Dana?
This is the article is so fucking unnecessary.
Well, there's a woman trying to share things that a man has found out about.
Of course, a woman would be like 45-degree angle, some bullshit like that. No, I'm sorry.
Well, actually, that was the guy's thing. She was just sharing that.
It's
like coming
so
to 45-degree.
It's so weird. I'm sorry. Those articles, like, yeah, I mean, I'm guilty of, like, researching, but, like, I'm not. I just think it's a little much, you know?
Yeah. Look, if you're doing it right, I've found that most women will be very vocal about, yes, yes, right there, don't stop, keep doing that, yes, yes, yes.
They'll tell you what to do.
Normally. If they don't, they've been severely traumatized by something in the past.
Yeah, exactly. So that's another conversation.
It is.
That you shouldn't be having with their vagina, you should have it with their face, so.
You want to have it face to face, not face to vag. Yeah, but that's how to become a master at cunnilingus. Pretty good, huh? We've all learned something today, or not.
No, not really.
Maybe
that 45-degree angle shit with the gum, I don't know. Maybe that was something new.
Maybe.
I haven't heard that.
No, I've not.
I think it might have something there.
Kareem's like, making mental notes.
I'll do some research and get back to y'all. That's what.
No, I'm just thinking of another position that, yeah, that's pretty much that angle. So, yeah.
When you're 69ing, you'll hit that more often than not with your chin. That's where the chin goes. It's like the chin rest for the 69. All right, let's wrap this up with a little small town news. I don't have the small town news sounder, but that's okay. Diana's leaving. She's leaving early. Dateline St. Johnsbury, Vermont. A Vermont man has escaped jury duty by getting dismissed for wearing a prisoner's costume. James Lowe of Barnett says he was released from jury duty when he showed up to court wearing a black and white striped jumpsuit with matching beanie. The Caledonian Record, which is the newspaper in St. Johnsbury, reports that Lowe showed up on time and joined other prospective juries before the start of the selection process. Deputies directed him to an empty courtroom to meet with a judge who told him to leave. Lowe says the judge told him he could have been found in contempt of court, and that could have meant a fine or jail time. Lowe says the juror instructions do not restrict clothing and that he's happy to be released because of his work schedule and family obligations. So
I was to remember that one.
I don't know. If you get a judge that's in a kind of a pissy mood, they could find you in contempt of court. But, you know, might be worth a try to make sure you get out of jury duty.
That would be hilarious.
Yeah, get your Halloween costumes out early. Or maybe you're one of those escaped felons in New York State. Will they ever catch those two sumbitches? I don't know. As of our recording, it's been 9 days.
Not if they keep looking for them in Vermont.
Well, here's the worst part of it, Kareem. I was reading up on it, and it was like, officials, no indication that they've left the area. The next line below that, governor, they could be as far away as Mexico. And then I went, so you got no fucking clue where they are.
That's pretty much
what it is.
It's
so
20 miles from the Canadian border. I think they could have walked there in a couple of days.
Well, their getaway driver didn't show up.
She bailed on them. Yeah.
Yeah, she's in jail now. Such a weird story. Now it's come out that there was a plot that they were going to kill her husband and she was going to run away with them. And I love that one of the things that came out is like, one of them is a real charmer and he's got a giant penis. I'm like, oh, well, that's important. That's good reporting.
Well, a lot of their warden, they let you know, a lot of those female guards end up sleeping with inmates.
Yeah, well, she wasn't a guard. She worked like in the sewing room.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
And she got her job because her husband worked in the prison. So it's all very, very strange. So that's it. That's going to do it for this episode of the Nate Darling Show. Like I said, the next couple weeks, because of vacations and stuff, a little bit shorter shows, but all new shows. So we'll see you again Friday with a fresh new episode. Oh, it's going to be one you won't want to miss. We'll be talking about that black lady who isn't really black. Or is she? The debate will take over on Friday's episode. We'll see you then. Until then, enjoy the Fountains of Wayne on the Nate Darling Show. Bye-bye. It's not